Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, June 30th, 2017, and on today's podcast, we're going to be talking about the travel ban case, the president's executive order issuing a travel ban on certain pro-Muslim countries. This week, Monday of this week, the Supreme Court, in a per curiam decision, which means an unsigned decision, issued a restriction on the lower court's ban of that order. The court unanimously stayed most of the relief granted by the lower courts in this case. The case involves an executive order from President Trump to ban the issuance of new travel visas for travel to the United States for people from six countries: Libya, Iran, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. The court halted the stay imposed on the president's order temporarily, and the court agreed to hear the full case in October of 2017, the next session of the court. The justices stated that the president has a high interest in enforcing issues of national security. Quote, the government's interest in enforcing and the executive's authority to do so are undoubtedly at their peak when there is no tie between the foreign national and the United States. The lower courts seem to find some kind of constitutional right that supposedly exists in foreign nationals. But the Supreme Court basically said that such a right can be stayed by executive order when the national has no legitimate tie to the United States. The First Circuit to hear this case was the Ninth Circuit. On appeal from a federal district judge in Hawaii, that judge, who was appointed to that position by President Barack Hussein Obama, issued an order in effect countermanding the president's executive order, and the Ninth Circuit upheld that judge's decision. The Ninth is the most overturned circuit in the country. It is based in San Francisco, but it sits in other Western cities as well. The case was an easy one for the Supreme Court, as the Ninth Circuit had denied the president's right and duty to protect the interest of the United States and its people, and tried to find or establish rights in foreign nationals where none existed. In other words, the Ninth Circuit assumed executive function. Let's look for a minute at what this decision really means and what its limitations are. President Trump called the ruling, quote, a clear victory for our national security, end quote. He goes on to say that as president, I cannot allow people into the country who want to do us harm. The decision was unanimous, 9-0. But there are various opinions as to its effect. The American Civil Liberties Union, for example, suggested that the decision would allow for, quote, only the narrowest implementation of the travel ban that would, quote, tear families apart. Justice Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch said they would have left the travel ban in effect immediately without restriction, just as the president signed the order. Justice Thomas said the government made a strong showing of the likelihood of its success when the full case is heard in October, therefore he would not have restricted the ban. The court permitted the administration to impose a 90-day ban on travelers from the six countries that I mentioned previously, and a 120-day ban on all refugees entering the United States, with the following exception. The ban may not be enforced against foreign nationals who have a credible claim of a bona fide relationship with a person or entity in the United States. This exception is very important. The purpose of the ban is to keep out people who hate the United States and its people and who want to do them harm. It might not be all that difficult for those desiring to enter the United States to assert a, quote, credible claim of a bona fide relationship with a person or entity in the United States, end quote. People, plenty of people who are wannabe terrorists, probably have business interests or family members already here. Justices Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch dissented from the portion of the order imposing the restrictions. They said the restriction would burden officials with deciding, quote, on peril of contempt, whether those desiring to enter had a credible claim or not. So that is the threat, then. Officials would be held in contempt for violating the restriction, I suppose, if they violated it willfully. The ban is imposed temporarily to give the administration time to review and, if necessary, make adjustments 2, its vetting procedures. One thing is clear from this. The district court in Hawaii and the Ninth Circuit were so anxious to damage the Trump presidency that they were willing to put that desire ahead of their own oath, as well as the security of the United States and its people. Even the Supreme Court, in considering foreigners seeking entry in the United States, somehow seems to find a right of those people, a U.S. constitutional right, where none appears to exist. Where does that right come from for foreign nationals to enter the country? Where does it come from? I would like to see, or at least read it and study it, because I can't seem to find it. Perhaps they find it in the United Nations membership, or in its charter, or in some diplomatic agreement or other such relationship with other nations. I would like to see that. Where is it? Where does it come from? The justices did, however, seem to rebuke the lower courts from acting as president and concede that such a role should be left to the executive branch. The most important question, then, is what is meant by the term credible claim? What is meant by the term bona fide relationship with a person or entity in the United States? Who will decide what those terms mean? How they are to be applied to applicants for U.S. visas? I presume it will be lawyers and judges who decide. I think, however, that if I were the president, I would handle it like this. Stop all visas, all applications for entry, until there is absolute proof to intelligence agency and diplomatic satisfaction that the applicant has a bona fide relationship and is not a threat. I would vet him and everyone he knows in the United States and in the country he is leaving. My vetting process would be extensive and difficult to pass because I would be looking at people who potentially want to kill Americans. I'm sure that well-funded groups would sue me. But so what? I have a Supreme Court opinion to rely on, and I would make my enemies work back up the line through the courts at least until October. Why am I so concerned about this? Why would I counsel the president to be so thorough? Because the United States has been bombing these countries, with the exception of Iran, for decades. Our history with Iran of at least semi-war status since 1979 is obvious. Bombing countries, killing people, destroying infrastructure, and acting as an occupying force causes problems. Those things create hatred and a desire for revenge. Not that Islam needs any motivation other than the directive to kill infidels. One simply can't make war on country after country and continue to invite military-aged males from those countries to come into his own country, unless one is insane, suicidal, or perhaps homicidal. According to a cable sent to all U.S. embassies on Wednesday of this week, the U.S. is interpreting the decision like this. The applicant must prove a relationship with a parent, spouse, child, adult son, or daughter, son-in-law, or daughter-in-law, or sibling already in the United States to be eligible. Grandparents, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins, brothers-in-laws, and sisters-in-law, fiancés, or other extended family members are not considered to be close enough. This is a very important decision, folks, for many reasons, such as the role of the executive branch and the role of the judiciary. But more than anything else, it's important because of safety and security of the United States and its people are at stake. It's one thing to have left-wing bloggers putting out disinformation and supposedly legitimate news sources putting out news that they now admit is false and that they just made it up to bring in revenue. Those things are disturbing enough. But we can't have the highest federal courts in the land below the Supreme Court making up false law. It was good to see the Supreme Court justices unanimously confirm this. Finally, folks, to conclude this podcast, the clouds of war across the world are growing darker by the day. The Korean crisis could erupt into war at any minute. War seems imminent. Once again, on the Korean Peninsula, the situation in Syria never seems to improve much. Now, we are again looking at confrontation with Russia over a threatened attack on Syrian President Assad. India and Pakistan stare at each other, both nuclear-armed countries, ominously. They look at each other along their northern border. Pakistan buys much of its weapons from China using money provided by American taxpayers. China also, a common border with these two countries, have sent large numbers of troops to that tri-border region, vetting visa applicants. In light of all this, seems like a pretty good idea, folks. At least that's the way I see it. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.